Our next guest has been called the conscience of the tech world. Her work at the intersection of psychology and technology has informed the way we think about our relationship with each other in the age of electronic devices, things like smartphones, tablets, and computers. Her new book calls us to reclaim the lost territory of face-to-face conversation. Disappearing into our phones might be easy, she says, but we lose empathy, the ability to be alone, and the chance to really know each other.
Sherry Turkle joins us now. She's a professor of the social studies of science and technology at MIT. Her new book is called Reclaiming Conversation, The Power of Talk in a Digital Age. Sherry, welcome to Central Time.
My pleasure.
Well, while I was reading your book, it struck me that there was this section of a novel that I've read. It's called A Visit from the Goon Squad by Jennifer Egan that's supposed to take place in the future. You can't really tell if it's the distant future or close future, but it's a world where toddlers are the great untapped market for corporations and people don't feel comfortable talking to each other face to face. So they may sit next to each other. They may text instead of talk because it's just too much for them to converse face-to-face. And when I read that a few years ago, it seemed creepy to me, and now it doesn't seem that far off. Are we getting to the point where we're not comfortable talking to each other in depth and with attention anymore, do you think?
Well, that's what I began to explore in Reclaiming Conversation. And the reason I call it Reclaiming Conversation is that I'm optimistic that we can turn it around and the conversation is the talking cure. We're giving toddlers baby bouncers that have slots for iPads. We're giving toddlers potty trainers that have slots for tablets. I interviewed one father who said that he had an 11-year-old, and when she used to take a bath when she was like two, he would sit with her and talk to her and play with her little toys in the bathtub with her. And now he has a 2-year-old, and with the 2-year-old, he sits in the bathroom and he does his email on his smartphone. And he knows he's doing something that he doesn't like, but he doesn't edit, but he does it anyway. And we're not letting conversation do the work it needs to do in order to teach us empathy, in order to get us connected. But it's not too late to turn this around.
Well, what work does conversation need to do? What is its job?
The job of conversation is to help you put yourself in the place of another, identify with the other, and let someone else have that feeling toward you. It's how we connect most fundamentally with each other's needs, feelings, life story. And, you know, you can do it through a voice. By hearing inflection, by hearing, when people take a breath, when there's a lull in the conversation, we reveal, when we're pausing, when we're anxious. But it's most actually effectively done face to face, where you can make eye contact, where you can feel the closest connection. And a phone interferes with that. There's a great study that took two people in conversation and put a phone on the table between them, and immediately the nature of the conversation changes. It becomes on topics where people wouldn't mind being interrupted, on things that are more trivial. And even more important, people don't feel as close an empathic connection with each other. Even a silent phone disconnects us.
Well, you speak to a lot of people who mention the sensation in a conversation where someone starts to use their phone. They feel like they're being put on pause as people. Can you talk a little bit more about how that plays out for people in their conversations and their relationships?
Yeah, I mean, you are being put on pause. And people talk about how they compensate for it, and they begin to see it as a natural part of how life is going to be. But in a recent Pew study, and Pew is an organization that studies kind of the digital habits of Americans, 89% of adults say that in their last social interaction, they interrupted it with their phone. In other words, in the middle of a conversation, they took out their phone to do something, to check a schedule, to send a text. And 82% said that it had deteriorated the interaction. So we're doing something that we know is sort of not good for our relationships, but we're sort of getting used to it. But what I'm hearing, as I did the research for Reclaiming Conversation, is that people are ready to make the corrections. People sense that, you know, we've lived with this technology for a time now, and we sense that things are amiss. And, you know, it's not too late not to get rid of our phones, but simply to put them in their place.
We're talking with Sherry Turkle right now. She's the author of Reclaiming Conversation, The Power of Talk in a Digital Age. And Sherry, when people are in a group with others and, you know, say a dinner party and a couple people start using their phone, you say there's this cascade effect where then other people start using their phone and maybe there's still a thread of conversation going, but there's also this subset of people who are on their phones. And I'm wondering what you think is driving that. Is the point there for the people on the phones not to be bored, or is it not to be alone?
Well, that's such a great question. There's so many things going on here. Our phones make us three promises, sort of, that you'll never have to be alone, that you'll always be heard, and that you'll never have to be bored, and that you can, and also that you can put your attention wherever you want it to be. Whether you're in a funeral or a dinner party, you know, that you really can be wherever you want to be. And there's something about that promise, these set of promises, as though they were gifts from a benevolent genie, that we have kind of glommed onto without realizing how much they hurt our relationships with other people, the people we're with. And it's funny, one college student, when I was talking in the very beginning of my research about how I was going to be studying texting and social media, he said to me, "Professor Turkle, our texts are fine. It's what our texting is doing to our relationships with other people when we're face to face. That's the problem." And I think that really is what we need to concentrate on, is that our phones are fine. It's fun, the texting and the social media. That can be fun and fine. It's keeping it in our place so that we make sure to give our attention to the people we're with when we're with them. That's what's important.
We're talking with Sherry Turkle, a professor of the Social Studies of Science and Technology at MIT. Her new book is called Reclaiming Conversation, The Power of Talk in a Digital Age. We're talking about how our guest says we're losing things like the ability to be alone, to know ourselves and each other because we're too involved in our electronic devices.
Does that ring a bell with you? Do you wish you could engage more with people, talk more in depth? Do you ever feel like somebody put you on pause in a conversation? Or do we need to figure out how to live in this high-use technology society? Let us know what you think over at the Central Time Facebook page. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. We're back with MIT professor Sherry Turkle now. She says we're turning away from the most human thing that we can do, connect with each other in the act of conversation, and turning instead toward our smartphones and our devices. Her new book is called Reclaiming Conversation. And in the book, she makes the case that we have a lot to learn from boredom and solitude.
Well, let me just take... Well, first of all, the pain of boredom. Boredom is also your mind sending you a signal to go within and use your imagination. One of the great problems for kids today is that they are losing practice in going within and using their imaginations because they always have something external to go to. You want to walk towards boredom in a sense, move towards boredom and see that moment of boredom as an opportunity, not as a signal to take out your phone. And as for loneliness, a big part of my argument in Reclaiming Conversation, and here I'm drawing on so much research by just, generations of scholars, is if you don't teach your children to be alone, they'll only know how to be lonely. Solitude is on the path towards conversation. It's on the path to relationship, successful relationship. You need to know who you are and have a capacity for solitude in order to reach out successfully to another person and really hear what they're saying and see them for who they are rather than just projecting who you need them to be. So boredom, solitude, a lull in a conversation, which people are starting to find intolerable. They want to fill it with looking at their phone. A lull in a conversation is when you really someone reveals themselves to you. We used to find silence as full, not silence as some reason to go to our phone. So a lot of the things that we now code as negative are really humanly positive. And we have to make sure we don't let our phones flip things around so we, you know, we kind of turn things upside down. We have to get back to our humanity, and conversation is the most human and humanizing thing we know how to do. I think of it really as the talking cure to help us get back to these fundamental values.
We're talking with Sherry Turkle right now. She's a professor of the Social Studies of Science at MIT. Her new book is called Reclaiming Conversation, The Power of Talk in a Digital Age. And for this book, you went to camps where there was no technology. It was sort of a technology detox camp for kids, and there are also these for adults as well. And you said this is a book of hope. So what hope did you see there about how when we do unplug and try to reengage, how easily we're able to do that?
In only 5 days at a camp without devices, children relearn empathic skills that they've lost. We are wired to be empathic creatures. And I saw kids who talked about relearning a capacity really for solitude, relearning a capacity to take a walk in the woods, to pick up a leaf, to think their own thoughts. And I also talked to kids who were relearning the capacity to talk to other children about what the other children were feeling and thinking rather than what was on their phones.
Now, as we wrap up, you've said that we're ready to change. So how do we start? How do we begin to make these changes?
Well, some very simple things. And taking each of them alone, maybe they sound too simple, but when you take them all together, they make a difference. First, in your family, I believe in sacred spaces that are device-free. The kitchen, the dining room, the car. The car is kind of, I see the car as ground zero in the fight to reclaim conversation. The driver of the car is not texting, and they can simply say, look, I'm not using a device as I drive. Family conversations are important to me. The car is a place where this family talks. And if you introduce that idea early enough, if you introduce it tomorrow, you know, it becomes part of your family culture that the car is a place where you play silly games, because it's in the middle of those silly games that people start to talk. And so the car, I really have seen families and get mail, so much mail about families that have used the car in this way. The kitchen and the dining room are important because one of the things that happens when kids lose imaginative capacity because they're always going to a phone is they'll say to you, I don't know what to do. And what's nice about the kitchen and the dining room is you can say, hi, we're cooking. Here's what you do. Here's the knife. Help me chop this. And conversation grows up around the food preparation, around setting the table. You begin to talk about your day and you're launched. We're not talking about complicated things here. We're talking about people having the feeling, number one, that you're there for them in a continual way. What's wonderful about family dinner is not just that it's an opportunity to talk, but that it's an opportunity to talk and then you're coming back again. So people learn that they can be vulnerable, that they don't need to be perfect, that they're in a conversation where they don't need to edit themselves. Because one of the things that happens in online conversation is that people like it because they have the fantasy that they can be perfect, that they can edit themselves. One 18-year-old says to me, conversation, what's wrong with conversation? It takes place in real time and you can't control what you're going to say. You need to teach your kids that it's okay to be in a conversation where you're not perfect, that you'll be back again to have another conversation, that it's okay to have a lull in a conversation, it's okay to be yourself. So first is the notion of sacred space. And then a very, very big thing is to reclaim solitude. Reclaiming solitude is is part of reclaiming conversation, because conversation really begins with a capacity for solitude, knowing yourself so that you can come to conversation with other people, with self-knowledge.
Sherry Turkle is the author of Reclaiming Conversation. You can make your pledge right now, WPR.org, and thank you.